I'm actually genuinely excited about Talking Shop.
Yes.
For the first time in a while, because we actually have... Because
Heath's dumbass was on last week?
Because Heath's not...
We have a real guest this time?
John Schuyler's always in the room for Talking
John
Shop.
John Schuyler's our Robin to our Howard Stern.
He's our Robin.
Hey, Robin. How are you?
Hello.
Hey,
hello,
Robin. What are the headlines today?
I mean, you might not be as sexy as Robin, man. But
you're not real sexy like Robin, but that's cool, man.
Fuck Schuyler. That'd be all right.
All right, man. That's enough of the fuck talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, Talking Shop here. Machine Gun, the Big LG. We are live in Las Vegas, right? We're in Las Vegas.
Sam's Town Live. Turning Point. 2 days of Impact Wrestling. Television tapings.
Yeah, which is always cool when we're on the road. It's the only way we can really get this done is when we're on the road. We got Balls Deep Billy with his soundboard here. Say hello, Emilio.
Hi.
As I see Tasha Steele, I go, do you know Balls Deep Billy? She goes, do I know Balls Deep Billy? And she gives him this sensual hug.
BDB, baby.
We got John Schuyler sitting over on the bed hanging out.
Hey, give me a...
We have a special guest here. We have a first timer. Oh, for fuck's sakes. Can I announce who's here?
No.
Come on in.
It's good to see you guys.
This is Fink from heaven. Hello, Fink.
Hello, Carl, you little asshole. Anyway, I'm here to do the...
As you can tell, Eddie's not a fan of Talking Shop.
Pre-podcast announcements. Ladies and gentlemen.
Surprisingly, Eddie's never listened to it.
Get out of here.
Carl, shut the fuck up, okay?
Sorry, Eddie.
I get to come down from heaven, use a few free cuss words St. Peter gives me, and I'm going to use them on you. Eat shit. Anyway,
that's always his transition.
Anyway, welcome to the hashtag worst podcast ever. Here are your hosts, the beady-eyed fuckstick, the machine gun, Carl Anderson.
Hello, everybody.
And the sexiest wrestler in the world, the big LG, the chest hair maniac, Duck Gallows. And today we're joined by a special guest.
We are.
He's an American wolf. He's the backbone of Impact Wrestling, a multiple time world heavyweight champion, the one, the only, making his debut on Talking Shop tonight, Eddie Edwards.
Boy, this is
Thank you, Fink. You're welcome, Doc. You're such a great man.
All right, Fink, could you get the fuck out of here?
Carl, why don't you go and fuck yourself, Carl?
Go back to heaven where you
eat shit, pal.
Sitting right next to God.
Clearly I am. I do his announcement every morning. Later.
Oh, get out of here, would you?
Fuck you.
Eddie, what's up, baby? Thank you very much. Hey. I appreciate you. Thank you for making your debut in the shop.
Hey, I am kind of surprised that this has been taking this long.
Me and Eddie have a bond with, we both got over in Japan. What is that? There we go. We both worked in Japan a lot, right? But Eddie was going a long time, way before I even went.
I didn't
go 2008 to get to it, Gallows.
No, I was getting out of the shower and I was like, I want to really talk to Eddie about Noah and Japan and the time spent there, brother. Because I think every wrestler who spent time in Japan, it kind of holds like a special place in your heart and your career or whatever.
Without a doubt.
Then we all kind of miss it.
Without a doubt.
This is a former GHC heavyweight champion.
I know, brother.
Wild to even think about. But I think that, like you said, it's like that... There's a bond between guys who have gone to Japan and who have toured, regularly toured. It's like you have that connection. You know them
without
knowing them.
Like who got famous there.
Exactly. Who got over, brother?
That's right, like brother.
Who got over, brother? You know.
We've had Ryogoku chanting our names, baby.
Woo!
Loudly.
That's the truth. Who were some of your favorite Japanese brothers to work with?
I mean, of course, it's like Misawa and Kobe. I mean, I think Kobe.
That's true. Think about that. You forget about all that. Like, you worked with Misawa until all the end, right?
Yeah, I got lucky, man.
You're
really
a Boston
did.
Brother, right?
Boston brother.
So Boston knee party, Carl?
You know it. Yeah, come on.
Just without getting this boring like we do that, but like just a quick backstory of what you do. You know what I mean? I know Eddie's not
going to be boring.
We're
going to
bore it up, baby.
No, I know Eddie's not going to be boring. I mean, like, but without having, we don't do usual.
We don't ask a lot of questions, but I wanted to ask a question. Now you're shitting on it.
But like, I just wanted, like, where do you come from for fans that might not know?
I am Boston born and raised. I've always been right outside of Boston my whole life, and I don't see that ever changing.
You a big Calhouns guy?
Of course.
Of course he is. Andy at Calhouns.
Well, is that like Boston Indies?
Yeah, all the Northeast Indies. Like, that's where I got out and about
first. Well, you got hot on the Indies was the first. That was, like, how you got seen at first.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was,
up
like,
there, and that's where you had to be when we were all kind of breaking in. Like, if you weren't up there, like, no one was really seeing
you. Well, the Northeast, like, there was, you know, so many shows between, you know, the tri-state area and New England. There's shows all, you know, all the time.
Then you go down to New York, New Jersey. Like, there's shit everywhere.
Yeah, you get. And it's all drivable, which is great, you know.
Those were better shows than the ones I was working in the South.
When did you have your wrestling debut?
2002.
Yeah, we're 2002 brothers.
Yeah. I signed up at Killer Kowalski School in 2001. Just walking up those stairs, going into the, I can still feel it and hear it. You know what I mean? Like, smell it. Going in there, Walter Kowalski sitting in the chair, and just, I'll never forget it. You know what I mean?
That's smelling special. My wrestling school.
Yeah, you can think about the mat and all that, the bumping.
And like, first time walking up, like, hear the bumping and the screaming.
You're like, what the fuck is going on? And that takes me to all the guys that were in there bumping that weren't famous, but thought they were fucking cool.
Oh, of course. All the ones who want to beat the shit out of me. You want to join wrestling?
All the guys who hated you, then you made it, they hated you more. No one ever happy for us.
All you non-famous fuckers like Brian Beach. You beat the fuck out of me when I was a kid.
Always an old school bear, Chad.
Yeah, and I've got a lot more famous.
You should have a chip on your shoulder.
I'm sure Brian's listening right now.
Hello, Brian.
Brian Beach is having a fucking fun.
Yeah. Probably can still beat me up. Actually,
you might want to pump the brakes, little Hootie.
What was your big break?
So I did Ring of Honor, did a couple shows. Like,
did you get a tryout? Was it a tryout?
No,
first?
It was. Just, I actually got a first match I had was in Braintree, Massachusetts against Jack Evans on the main show.
Braintree is a hot place for ROH.
It was good.
What was it?
Braintree,
Massachusetts, like the first ROH, I believe, was in the armory there.
It was a nice little place.
Did they book you?
They booked me, you know, just from doing obviously New England shit, and I was getting out and about, so it was a local show. So they threw me on there against Jack Evans, and you know, Jack's amazing. So I was like, fuck, I get to, you know, I know I was going to look good going in. So that was kind of the first shot.
This is my buddy, probably. This is my guy, Skyler.
Damn it, Robin.
Hey, Vegas, get the fuck
Welcome in Vegas. This is the great Vegas here. I don't mean to cut off Vegas real quick, but, He's a crazy.
Vegas rocking a half zip
like,
tonight.
I feel like I know the name.
Well, we've talked about him a lot.
Yes, yeah. I feel
he's,
like
he's,
he knows.
He gets talking shop. He's talking shop famous.
He gets a lot of play on here.
Oh, he's royalty.
He's the royalty. He's the guy that went into depression when Craigslist stopped doing personal ads.
Oh man.
Yeah,
tough time for everybody.
It was a tough time.
What's wrong?
His sexual deviancy really
knows no bounds.
What's that, Vegas?
No, just knocking on the hotel room door gave me like that thrill came back not knowing what's on the other side of the door.
Gallo's gonna
Vegas is so entertaining. He's like Seth Rogen who never made it. I say it all the time.
He goes, we gotta get Vegas on the podcast. He's just so bad verbally. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, he's more of a visual guy.
Vegas looks like Seth Rogen and Fandango had a kid. How's it on sight? I mean, come on. Hey, take it.
That's pretty cool, actually.
In no way is that a bad thing.
Is this Emilio and Vegas' first meeting here?
This is a couple of talking shop legends.
Emilio,
historic.
My God, I'm glad I get to witness. in the annals of talking shop history.
So Tom's little brother goes, I go, this is Vegas. And Tom's brother goes, this is the Vegas? Oh, shit, man. I heard a lot about you, dog. Then Thomas
Brother. You're looking at this massive 7-foot man. Like, why the fuck?
Hey, Thomas Brother. Like, hey, this is Balls Deep Billy, man. And Thomas Brother goes, hold up, you're Balls Deep? Oh, shit, I'm a big fan, man. And Billy goes, oh, thank you, bro.
Man, Thomas Brother's a sweet kid.
Balls Deep took a selfie with Thomas.
Fuck.
Sorry, Eddie. My bad.
What the fuck were we saying?
You look good in that hat.
I don't know.
You were talking
about the first.
I did ROH.
Yeah, you were talking about working with Jack Evans in ROH.
That's it. Jack Evans was the first time and, you know, locally. And then I did a few shows locally for ROH, like Connecticut, Massachusetts.
Who was booking this? Gabe?
That was Gabe at the time, yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, from that point, I had the chance to go to Japan for the first time.
So I want to get into that, though. Yeah, so you were doing ROH, and you get booked as like a package deal through Ring of Honor?
No, it was just, I got the chance to go over because it was Sabu. He was some benefit, you know, he broke his hip or something. And they were doing like a benefit show in Japan. Yeah. And Sumi Sakai, she came to Kowalski's. And so she kind of hooked me up. And Slick Wagner Brown, who was the head trainer at the time. So we went over, we did the, you know, had a couple shows, couple matches.
And this is in Japan?
Yeah, 2005.
This wasn't Noah, right?
No, this was not Noah at this time. It was just a random benefit thing. And then we did a couple 0-1 shows. Obviously not Noah either.
Yeah.
And then I ended up going to one of the Budokan shows.
Was Zero One hot then?
They were doing pretty well at that time.
Zero One was hot around then.
Yeah. Well, early 2000s, it was still, we're like the Extreme Horsemen and those dudes over there.
Yeah, like, yeah. It was still going pretty good.
I remember doing
point.
Indies, and they'd walk in with those tracksuits on. I'm like, these guys look fucking really cool.
I mean, the tracksuit is the ultimate dream when you first.
When you're an indie guy and you see a motherfucker walk in with one of those Japanese tracksuits on, you're like, holy shit.
He did it. He did
look
it.
Look at this fucking guy.
Dude, Hiroko Inoki made me do 500 squats at the LA dojo just to get a tracksuit.
To get the tracksuit.
Right. And the airplane flying back to Cincinnati, and I couldn't wait to wear it.
Of course. I'll do 1,000.
Dave Marquez put a red one on, all red. Red pants, red jersey. Look at me. Look like fucking Ronald McDonald here.
Well, you know, some people aren't going to like this comment, but if you buy the tracksuit, you don't fucking earn it. So, exactly. There's a lot of guys out there buying them.
Yeah, I got a lot of tracksuits.
That's what I'm saying.
The Ribera jacket, same shit.
Yeah, it's the same shit. You can't buy one.
They stopped letting us get the jackets.
How many do you have? Well,
We had this one brother, Kaz, and who we still love.
I know Kaz.
Kaz Gear Mania.
Yes.
Kaz has paid us a whole lot of dough over the years. But he was our Ribera, if you will, sponsor.
He drank too much.
So he would get the check, and then we'd sneak behind him and go, two more bottles of wine? He'd go, guys, please.
Chando Gallo's too much drink.
Aqua wine.
He'd always take AJ, because AJ'd get fucking
diet. He didn't drink. AJ Diet Coke's is cheap.
Because, you know, we get three bottles of wine just to get going. Yeah,
it's pregame, man.
He's ready to eat, and we don't want to order, because we don't get a buzz.
Well, the steaks come. We go, no, we don't want them yet.
Hold on. Wait.
The corn soup and a lot more wine, please.
We need empty stomachs right now.
You can't find that corn soup in the States. I don't know.
Oh my god, dude. Corn soup in the fucking can over there is delicious. Yeah. Like, how do we not have that here?
And how do we not have motherfucking strong zeros?
I'm gonna take my shoe off and throw this shit. I don't know.
Taking my shoe off over this.
Guys, we have enough alcoholic things here. We don't need more strong.
We need more.
Dude,
those things, there's no turning back.
This is off the path, but that's what Talking Shop is. Eddie, as everybody knows, one of the hardest working Impact Wrestling guys, Scott, the company, the backbone
Hell
of Impact
of
Wrestling.
Stiff chopper.
But what popped me the most about Eddie today is we know these things and we know he has these incredible matches and stuff. But, you know, Brother Heath, who we love and adore.
Oh, yes.
He's very oblivious to everything in pro wrestling other than what he did in the Nexus. So if you weren't in the Nexus with him, he's not sure about you. Hey. He goes to me today. He goes, "Hi, man. Are you seen that Eddie Edwards working?" I said,
"For years, Heath."
He goes, "Man, he takes some big fucking bumps out there.
He's a good worker, man."
I said, "What happened?" He goes, "Man, he's up on the damn fucking top rope, and there comes Moose. He bips him. Then it pushes him. He didn't even hang on, man. He went straight to the damn floor." I said, "Is he okay? Fuck."
This is our problem.
Is Heath in here right now?
We just turned Heath into.
Once I start talking like him, it's over.
Oh, bro, there's no turning back.
So Heath was in the WWE.
He's a good worker. Heath.
For so long, right? When he came out, he didn't know how to act. And he didn't want to lose. He wanted to be tough.
We started calling him Heath. We started calling him Heath Raines behind his back. Hey, there's Heath Raines coming, guys.
He thinks he's Roman, right? So like, do you think he's Roman Reigns? He's fucking Heath Slater.
I was in the damn Nexus. That's right, man. Me and Ryback, man.
Who could forget that?
Wade Barrett, too, man.
So then today we finally fessed up. So listen, we've been talking about your back, man. We call you Heath Reigns. He goes, "Man, what?
Man, I didn't know that." He goes, I did lose my shit a little bit.
I said, "Heath, you lost your mind." He goes, "Well, am I back, man?"
You may have heard us say this before, but I know I've said it on a podcast, but it's so funny. I got to say it one more time quick. We're driving to Impact the first time. You know, these ex-fucking WWE guys are coming. Heath nervous as fuck.
Spoiled brats.
15 years in WWE.
They're still all spoiled.
They're spoiled. Jesus Christ. Are, and they know it. And good for them. Bro. Whatever. All right. But Heath has gone. He did some independence. And then when I was in developmental, he came and did like two jobs, got a contract, 15 years under the umbrella and the welcoming arms of Vincent Kennedy. So he didn't understand the outside. So we're driving, and he goes, "Hi, man." And my wife's in the car.
Before our Slammiversary.
We're all going to debut. And he fucking goes, "Are we going to have to put up the damn wrestling ring?" I said, "Heath, it's a television company." He goes, "Oh, so we don't have to help?" I said, "No, man, we're good." And then he's silent for a little bit. We're talking. He goes, is there going to be like a place to go to the bathroom? Or do we got to pee outside? I said, Heath, for fuck's sakes, is a multi-million dollar recording studio with television and music videos. Like, they have a place to shit and piss. What are you talking about?
We pulled up. We're driving by each other before we go to this, the second day of TV tapings. We go, hey, Heath, what's up? Because we think he's just fun-loving Heath. He goes, hey, what's up? And I go, hey, man, you okay, bud? What's up, man? I miss you. He goes, yeah, you too, man. My Twitter analytics, man, was the best, even higher than y'all's. He puts window up.
And we go, what? What the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, that's a mic drop, I guess.
There's Heath Rains right there.
We said it to him today, and we were laughing and said, talking about the Heath Rains things. He goes, well, man, truthfully, they were. We know, buddy. We're good. That's awesome.
I said, truthfully, they weren't.
How did you guys not get him to set up the ring? Like, yeah, we do, actually.
Bro,
the new guy.
You got to get the ropes on. They're going to fucking have Heat right out of the gate.
They're not tight enough. What are we going to do?
So, little did you know that his carny friend will be renting the ring to Impact a month later. Hey, Scott, I got a ring for way cheaper than this guy.
Do we get back on track now? Eddie.
Whatever.
So you went to Japan with a couple of independent things. Yeah. So, but how did you get the Noah hook?
So, Sumi, she had brought it up. She asked, like, would I go over and stay for, you know, 3 months at a time?
You're
or
like,
whatever.
Sure will.
I mean, yeah. I'm like, anything. This is the dream.
And
like,
you're 22 or
22
something?
At that point. Yeah. And it's like,
well, this is your first year in the business.
Here we go.
No. This is my third year.
Oh, third. Sorry.
But I'm 22 at that point.
So you're.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
So you're 18 or 19?
18.
Started training. Was the same age and years? Yeah.
Wow. No, I started training at 17. Debuted at 18. Yeah.
I'm surprised the killer will let you do that.
I didn't think he would. And I'm like, you know, I'm watching. Like, my mom brought
me. My mom will sign the thing.
Yeah, I'm watching. I'm like, he's like, so you're gonna sign up? I'm like, no, I thought we had to be 18. Like, bullshit. No,
bullshit. No, money, you're please. Like, yes.
And I'm like, okay, I gotta get the money.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I'm 17, right?
He's like, go rob the 7-Eleven. Come back. Give me money. Like, okay.
And then I just love the killer even more after hearing
Go rob the
7-Eleven.
And then
just bring me money.
And the funny is my younger brother, he's 3 years younger than me. He's 14 years old at the point. He lends me the money to join wrestling school, which, of course, he's never let me forget. I mean,
you wouldn't be on TV right now with me, bro.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Awesome. How did my younger brother have more money than me? I don't fuck.
How's a 14-year-old have this kind of money? What is he doing?
What
is he up to?
What are you doing?
Oh, gentlemen, the holidays came early here at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products, including their all-new ultra-premium body wash and a 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. Gift yourself Manscaped or the man in your life who needs it. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with 20% off plus free shipping with the code HOOTS20. That's HOOTS20 by going to manscaped.com. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to reduce cuts on your chestnuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant moisturizer and toner. Manscaped is going beyond the groin with their new ultra-premium body wash. It's infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized. They also just launched their new 2-to-1 shampoo and conditioner, which has key ingredients with benefits that include hydrating, nourishing, conditioning the scalp, and strengthening your hair at the same time. Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HOOTS20. That's HOOTS20 at manscaped.com. Every guy out there needs to add Manscaped to their wish list this holiday season.
The Noah hookup.
Yes. So
how did you get there? That's where you got. That's where you built your business.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah. So Sumi had brought it up. She's, you know, when she was training, bro. It was so it was unreal. Like so, you know, she comes to Kowalski's. It was without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah. In the world at that point.
At that point, right?
And Sumi came to Kowalski's. you know, I was there every day, all that bullshit, like nonstop. And she said, you know, asked if I would want to go over and do that. I'm like, without a doubt. And she like sent me pictures of like the dojo, and it's a small little dojo, and I'll be living in like,
yeah. Doesn't matter. Like, in our minds, we're like, fuck.
I'm like, this looks amazing. Yes, without a doubt.
Is it the same dojo that's now still?
No, it's a different. It was the one that was a different Ariake. Yep. They tore down Ariake.
Different Ariake?
Yeah, man. So, we go over there for the indie shows, and I go to the Budokan show, and I meet Ryu Nakata, who was the booker, I don't know, you know, whatever, vice president, right. Whatever, you know, but up there. Yeah. And he said, do you want to come over and train? I said, yeah. He said, okay. And then that was it from there.
That's cool. That's so great, right?
Oh, my God. And the Budokan show that I was at was when Kawada came to confront Misawa to accept the Tokyo Dome match. And it was like,
what?
Insane, dude.
That's cool.
It was, never forget it. And then the first show that I was at was the Tokyo Dome show. It was Kobashi against Kensuke, Misawa versus Kawada. I'll watch, it was 2005. You know, I'll go back. I'll watch like the Misawa match or Kobashi.
Yeah,
match. And you know, I'm young boy style.
You're on your knee. You're on the knee. Like, man.
It's like cool. It was crazy.
That's one of the coolest things about pro wrestling, because you go from a gym in front of 80 people to some shit like that, and you're like, what the fuck? Like,
this happens. Yeah. This is possible.
I got signed in 05 the first time, and I was like, I'm not ready for this. Look, I was just lying when I told him I was ready. Man, I'm not prepared.
In the dojo, it's like imposter syndrome is real. I'm like, do I belong here? Like, I've only wrestled this. You have all these questions. And the training was just so different than, you know, in Kowalski's, you learn how to bump, you learn how to do this. You know, some shoot things from Walter would she show you. But then, you know, go over there, and it's the squats, and the neck bridges, and it's the push-ups and the and like shit that I hadn't done, and I'm 100
bumps,
fuck,
and shit.
Yeah, like for real, like 150 bumps before you're allowed to debut, 100 bumps before you're allowed to debut. It's like wild.
No, it's my first tour over when I was a young boy with New Japan.
Yeah.
My first tour ever, the main event of that whole tour was a Korakuen Tanahashi versus Shinsuke for the title. I don't remember who the champion was, right? But you know how Korakuen is, the wall shakes
when you get him going. It's physically shakes.
That's what they had me out there on the knee. I'm getting chills now,
dude.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
We get asked all the time, and I'll say it publicly because I've only heard like two other guys really say it. And I kind of mean it. The Garden to us was just another one.
Yeah.
But the coolest wrestling venue I ever got to wrestle in. And I'd done WWE, I'd done TNA. And the first time we did one of those big eight mans and the Bullet Club had gotten over in Korakuen Hall, and you can feel it like reverberating through it, and the place is shaking,
like
and Chad knew how to call it like you guys did in Noah's.
Keep that going. Style. Keep it up.
And knew how to get them right where they put two mics on yellow. It starts accelerating, dude. And I was like, this is fucking, there might be, there's an 1800 person sellout or whatever, but it wouldn't matter if we were in a 20,000 seat building. It doesn't get any better than the way that building is. And then, you know, all the people who came through.
And like, just thinking about, you can feel the heat in there. You can feel the lights in the ring.
And there's something to that. So I'll say
you need to do Korakuen Hall sometime, Robin.
So
Robin, can I selly? Can I get a selly, Robin?
Oh, Robin.
So Korakuen Hall was the coolest, right? But once you go into Ryogoku, into Sumo Hall, once you get over, so like Korakuen's the cool thing.
Yeah.
But if, when you can make the wall shake it, Ryogoku.
Yeah. What's it? 13, maybe 15?
That was I think 12. 12,000.
Ryogoku's it reminds you of a big WWE style building, but
when you make the 12,000 Sumo Hall shake, that's just one step up from Korakuen, which is pretty cool.
I think we
did Budokan. That was kind of Noah's biggest one, right?
Yeah, they would do that four times a year.
I don't want to jump ahead of everything you did, but I was on tour with New Japan when Misawa passed.
I was at Ring of Honor, and I believe D'Lo was on and called Bison Smith, who was at ROH.
D'Lo called from Japan.
Yeah. It might have been Bison calling D'Lo or D'Lo. But that's how it was like.
That made some mainstream.
Look, Bison's another good brother guy.
Today's the anniversary of his death.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Really?
Cheers. Who's the man? Bison, man. Bison here, bro. I just
cheers
saw
the Bison. Who cheers Chet the Jet.
Bison Smith, baby.
Who Chet the Jet got close with in Puerto Rico. Loved him.
Yeah.
The best, man.
I feel like they had a lot of similarities. Yeah. They were real good brothers.
Yeah. And when I went over, and Bison was one of the guys, the top guys in, and I'm like, you know, I remember always looking out for you. And I remember shaving his back before the show. Shave my back. All right, I got you.
You know,
he also knocked me out one time in a clothesline. Not a fight, but in a clothesline.
Just just a clothesline
in there. Yeah, just in the face. I'm like selling up. I'm selling up. Like hit the ropes, and I guess apparently he doesn't usually hit the ropes when he throws clothesline. So he hit the ropes, and kadeesh,
and sleeping.
I woke up in the back.
Oh, really?
I guess I kicked out of the clothesline and took the finish. It was like the Styles Clash, and then we get in the back, and they're like, "You good?" I'm like, "What happened?"
Damn. How stupid is our muscle memory?
Dude, it's crazy.
There's no way you knew that. You knew that finish, but your body did it.
Oh. So, you know, how did, like when brothers pass.
That's a little much.
Who
that's
is
little
that? Much.
Who is that? There?
Like when brothers pass. You know,
we were being too loud. Let whoever's in there in.
Oh, I like intimidate the security guards here.
This means we're having a good time.
Oh, it's Keith.
Oh, it's Keith Slater, man.
Oh, no. Hey
Keith.
We've just been going to town on you.
Right, we just brought you up.
Because you're one of the greatest characters in the history of wrestling and Nexus.
I heard your new name. I heard your new name, your new nickname.
Yeah, what is it?
Heath Raines, baby. Doing it big.
What's up,
now, everybody?
Hey, first I'll fuck these guys. All right.
Hi, man. The big dog has entered the room, man.
The big dog is here, man.
Why'd you sit at the head of the table over here, buddy?
But fuck you guys.
Hey, where's Ambrose and Colby, man?
Hey, man. Where's the damn old bloodline,
exactly,
man?
Exactly. Where's the shield, man?
Hey, you're not leaving. You're staying. Hey.
Heath, how are your Twitter numbers after Slammiversary?
Analytics.
How are your analytics?
How were they?
They're going down, man.
That's not what we're looking for here. We've been putting you on a goddamn pedestal.
He's been too nice. Well, he's changed.
Oh, he's back to nice. He's not. I'm going to be a dickhead guy anymore.
He's not happy with us right now.
I was just going to say.
Look at him. He's getting mad as fuck, too.
Look at the face. The disgust.
Well, he's a Golden Gloves boxer. He will knock out Chad, but not me. I'm no more.
That's true. He could beat me up.
Heath, knock him out.
Fuck you, Heath.
But don't knock him out too bad, man. Hey, I need him to make some money, man.
Oh,
he's
man.
Out of here.
What are you doing?
Hey, just like that.
He's going to the bathroom.
Man, he's
going to
take a damn old piss. Damn. They have bathrooms here.
You know what? Hey.
He ain't even got to pee outside, man.
I think when we got Balls Deep coming to Dallas in January. I think
hardcore.
Balls Deep. I think me and Heath should have a podcast on the Talking Shop Podcasting Network.
No, you know what we should do? We should let Heath host the podcast where he just gets to bury us. That'd be fun.
That's what we should do, man.
Look, his eyes lit up on that. The analytics will be damn great, man.
Balls Deep Brains. That's the podcast, baby.
Balls and Brains.
Balls Deep Brains.
Keith trying to get words in. I said, man.
Why'd you bring damn old Paul Heyman over here? You know we hate that fat fuck. You know we hate that fat old greasy fucker.
Yeah, he put y'all over once.
Yeah, man, then he quit and got us damn old fired.
Man, he's fatter than hell.
Man, he's fat as fuck, man. I ain't seen his dick in years, man. Yeah. That was Keith who said it, not me.
Yeah, I didn't say that. That was Keith. Keith married Michael Hayes last week, too, man.
Man, why'd you say all that shit about Michael Hayes, man? That guy. You know what you gotta say? That guy.
What's his name?
Michael Hayes. Michael Hayes.
Hey, you know what? The best part about Talking Shop,
Freebird Road, man.
Is we never finish stories, so there's got to be a part two. With
like
Eddie.
Fuck Eddie. Eddie was into a great podcast about pro wrestling, and we just ruined it.
Hey,
sorry, Eddie.
This is the perfect.
Eddie,
mix.
Will you come back next loop?
No, let's
listen,
do it.
Eddie,
hey.
Man, listen.
We got a whole man TNA career to cover, man.
I'm down, man.
Everybody, we went ahead of Conan O'Brien when we started last year. Remember that?
Man, our damn analytics were through the roof.
When he walked in the room, Gallows' eyes lit up like Christmas.
I can't take it. He's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, Gallows can't take it.
I can't take
Keith. When he's around Keith.
If I have one sip of alcohol and Keith comes in, man, I lose my shit, man.
We call him Keith.
Man, you want to go downstairs and get some damn old half-price appetizers, man? I got a couple drink tickets from Dr. Rawls for me,
baby. Drink tickets.
That's what makes Talking Shop so special. Hey, Eddie, do you mind coming back in sometime?
I would love to.
We would love to have you back, man. And Heath has some coupons, so we can all get some free
coupons.
We can get free mozzarella sticks, man.
Let's do it, baby.
Thanks for the coupons, man.
Eddie, Twitter, Instagram, anything you want to talk
just
about?
Twitter at the Eddie Edwards. That's about it.
Just Google that motherfucker.
Google him. Follow Impact Wrestling. Follow your wife. You know her socials. You better. I put you on the spot. We can cut it if you don't.
Alicia Edwards is a name.
Alicia Edwards. Google that.
Something on Twitter. I'm following her.
We didn't even get
there. You go. If you follow Eddie, you'll follow her.
We didn't even get into his Japan run. Let alone
we didn't do his Japanese.
Beautiful.
We did nothing.
Let alone anything he's ever done.
We barely got out of Kowalski's fucking school.
Four part series. I'm good, guys.
And then Keith walked in. He's in a bad mood though right now.
He's grumpy.
Keith, I'm like, oh, shit.
I feel like we're in trouble.
Let's go eat, man.
I don't like. Hey, I don't like I don't like uncharismatic Matt Heath.
Keith, no, but Keith is actually like. I remember I had some heat. As you wrap up, I had some heat with not texting my wife before I go to bed, and he goes, "Tonight you're texting your wife goodnight." Every hour on the hour, he goes, say goodnight yet?
No, no.
That was New Year's Eve in Miami.
Heath is a real good friend because he cares about your real life. Yeah, he'll ask you about your family and stuff.
What's real life?
Because most wrestlers don't give a flying fuck about anything that happens to you.
What's your real name?
Oh, yeah, idiot. That's a terrible name. Oh, your name's Drew? You sound like a piece of shit.
He says, send some flowers, man. Tell your lover.
He's too Hitch Slater over here.
You love her.
Hey, it's like Heath and Hope floats, man. He's like,
man, damn old Heath was a cinematographer on Hope floats, man.
Keith Connick Jr.
All right,
guys.
Hey. All right, Keith, for Keith Whitley, for the machine gun, Carl Anderson, for balls deep fucking Billy. Shut up, you.
Everybody here.
For Eddie Edwards, who had a great story. We didn't let him finish it. For Robin, we got him on loan from Howard Stern, last name Schuyler. And for the one and only Vegas, he's Seth Rogen, who never made it. Thank you all very much for listening to the hashtag worst podcast ever. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for coming in, Balls Deep. See you in Dallas, Hoot.
Thanks, Eddie. Sorry.
Thank you, boys. Love
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, Eddie.